Due to the duration of this gospel, we ask that you be seated. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but in the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Heard he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him."
He said this and told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they meant mere ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them more clearly, "Lazarus has died. And I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him."
When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus already had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the day of the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who comes into the world."
When she had said this, she went and called to her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in her house, comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to go to the tomb and weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone laid across it.
Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out."
The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and a cloth across his face. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So now this evening you've been listening, and I have been listening to a story we heard many, many times before about the raising of Lazarus. And then if you can put yourself in my position for a moment, in June I'll be 55 years a priest. And so if you can imagine, for 55 years I've been having to deal with Lazarus being called, being raised from the dead, and they try and come up with something maybe a new insight into that story. It becomes a little bit more and more difficult. I'm sure you can understand that, but nevertheless I am, and I mean it, I'm very thankful to the Lord that I do. It's amazing, I'm often amazed at this, that I do, even though I've listened to it many, many times before and tried to give a little homily on it, that the Lord puts new ideas into my mind, and I can normally see something into it that I didn't see before. So I must again begin with a little story. There was a nurse who worked in a pediatric unit, and she was very good. She was a very lovely person, as most nurses are, because it's a vocation, it's a lovely vocation to be a nurse. And this particular nurse was very good at putting little children, helping them to relax and putting them at ease, because just like ourselves, when little children end up in hospital, they're naturally very worried, just as you or I would be if we ended up in hospital. And anyhow, what she used to do was she'd get the stethoscope and she'd plug it into their ears, into their ears, not into hers, and she'd put the disc on their chest, and she said, "Now tell me, can you hear that? Can you hear your heart beating?" And of course the little ones would be amazed at you know, feeling their heart beating and listening. But she was very surprised one day when a little guy called David ended up in hospital, 4 years old, and she put the stethoscope into his ears and put the disc on his heart, and she said, "Now, what do you hear? Can you tell me what you hear?" So she could see his little mind thinking, and then a little smile came in his face, and he said, "Yes, what do you hear? I hear Jesus knocking. Knocking at my heart. What a lovely thing. Well, Jesus is knocking at your heart, knocking at your heart continually, but do you hear him? Do you hear him? And there's a connection between the three readings this evening. In the first reading from Ezekiel, we hear there God saying, I will open your graves and set you free. And then we hear Jesus saying to Lazarus, come out. And we hear him saying to the people around, unbind him, let him go free. How many of us are really free? How many of us here are really free? And if we're absolutely honest, none of us are totally free. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's look at a few things. Fear is the biggest builder of prisons. How many people, most of us, to be honest, are imprisoned by fear? Now think for a moment, all the things that you are reluctant to do. Somebody asked you to do something, and you say, oh no, I couldn't do that. And what's the bottom line to that? Because I'm afraid I might fail, or I might get it wrong, or I might make a mistake. So why do we always have to win? Why is success so important in our life, when the best thing that can happen to us sometimes is to fail? Now, it's a learning thing. So for example, I'm totally nowadays, thank God, but it took me a long time to get to that. I'm totally free in that respect with failure. So for example, I'm here before you. I don't have a note. I'm never sure of what's coming next. I'm not sure how this is going to finish. But am I worried? No, I'm not. Because if I fail, I fail. And that's fine. And when I look back on my life, I thank God, and I hope you believe this, I thank God every day of my life for my failures. And boy, have I had many failures in my life. But for them, I wouldn't be where I am today. And nothing helps us more than how we cope with failures. How we deal with adversity and failure really forms our character and determines the kind of person we are. It really, that is so, so true. For example, how comfortable are you, or maybe you never say it, but how comfortable are you in saying to somebody, I was wrong? Good question. I was wrong. I made a mistake there. I got that totally wrong. Have you ever heard a politician saying that? They will lie through their back teeth to prove they didn't get it wrong. What's wrong with saying, I was wrong, I made a mistake? That is the most freeing thing you can ever do. It's very freeing, totally freeing. And so many people are prisoners of that kind of fear of getting something wrong, of being shown to be wrong, of maybe damaging to their reputation. Sad, sad. Now another thing that holds a lot of us, imprisons us, and most of us are in prison. To go back to the gospel, we're in the tomb, we're entombed. For example, how many of us carry grievances, grudges, a lack of forgiveness, resentment against somebody, and we will not let go. We hang on to it. And so, in every community, there are people who have left that particular community, or parish, or even families, because of they will not give up that grudge, or that grievance, grievance or that resentment. How sad. How sad. That is very, very sad. Look at your own lives. Look at your own lives. And are you one of those people? Are you carrying today, here, or this evening, a grudge, a resentment against somebody? And just like Martha said to Jesus about Lazarus, he's 4 days dead now, so there will be a stench. And that's what you might say, it's a stench within you. It's a cancer. It grows and it festers and it keeps you bound, just like Lazarus. It won't let you go. Or talking about being bound and so on, you must have come across it and probably said it hundreds of times yourself. Somebody calls you up on the phone or they ask you to do something and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm tied up at the moment. I'm always tempted to say, when somebody says that to me, well, surprise, surprise, I never knew you went into that. Oh, you haven't got to explain to him, have you? I'm tied up. That's another way. You see how all the fears we have in our lives. And very often it means when somebody says, I can't do it, I can't do that, why can't we be honest and say, I don't want to do it? That is the honest answer. There's no such word as I can't. And you'll never live fully. You'll never have any joy in your heart. And you'll never be a free person until you're prepared to take risks. Life is all about taking risks. And to live life to the full, to really live life, you've got to take risks. And some of us, we have our fears and we don't want to hear anything that might be upsetting or disturbing. And so we've got totally closed minds. I think one of the ways we show we have a closed mind is don't want to know. I don't want to know. Just closed, Why not be open? We got to be open and free. Unbind him and let him go. Yesterday, I officiated at a funeral here of a little lady who was 109 years old. 109. She was born in 1910. And up to the day, almost to the day she died, she lived life to the full of her ability. And guess what her pet phrase was? All her life. Celebrate life. That was her pet phrase. Celebrate life. Not just exist. I hate the phrase. You know when you say to somebody, how are you? Oh, just hanging in. Oh, for God's sake, Just hanging in. How are you? Just hanging in. I send you into a deep depression, that kind of thing. It was lovely, and her family were there, and they told me she was wonderful. She celebrated life. Up to the few days before she died, she used to say to us, and she was in a lot of pain, how are you? You got to celebrate life. I have life. Thank God. Celebrate life. And so, you got to let go of all the things that hold you back. Whatever you're clinging to, whatever you're clasping and you won't let go, someday you have to. A day is going to come, sooner or later, when you have to let go. And all the things that you clung on to, and you would not let go, you were afraid to let go, you have to leave them. It was a lovely man, you probably heard about it, lovely man here in this parish, David Sanchez, who was a lovely man. He was out hiking yesterday morning, had a heart attack, and he died. I'm sure that David wasn't expecting that. So you never know. You never know when God will call you, and you have no choice, you have to let go. So remember that little woman, 109 years old, and up to the day she died, guess what she was doing? Celebrating life. And I want you to go out there and be glad you have more life to live and celebrate life and let go and be free. And what the hell about it if you make a mistake? It's human. It's human. And I thank God also for my imperfections and my sins. I'd hate to be perfect.